pray for those families. Obviously, they are still hurting. In fact, children born after 9/11 are mourning their dead parents. They were born after their parent or parents died, and that is still a loss, even though they did not know them. So turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. Please understand, a day more shocking, a day worse than 9/11 is coming. It's called the Day of the Lord. As I continue preaching, building, and battling while waiting and watching part 19, the Second Coming Chapel, message number 303, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now today we'll have more people interested in when is this day going to come, and what day, what is the day of the Lord all about, and the Lord coming in as a thief in the night, and we'll totally miss, totally ignore, won't allow themselves to be touched by verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, everything you see. Similar to those buildings being dissolved and coming down to nothing, to ash. It is burned in your minds if you were living. We all know where we were very clearly that day when those buildings came tumbling down. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. I do want you to understand, we may deal with some other things today, but I do want you to understand, with God is always about righteousness and doing the right thing, having pureness of heart, having a godly attitude and spirit. It is about righteousness. It is about holiness. And we are not about that. And the Laodicean church of today, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That is your lifestyle. Not just your words. It involves your words, but your lifestyle, your behavior, in the back, turn around. Your attitudes, whether or not you're disobedient, you are characterized as being a disobedient person, but yet you claim to be a Christian. Shall we pray? Please keep those things in mind. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your goodness, your love, your mercy, and your grace. I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and manifold and many blessings that you have bestowed upon us down through the years. And Lord, I praise you and I thank you for bringing us through something that we have never seen before and something that we hope we will never see again, some 20 years ago. It shook up the world. But thank you for bringing us through 20 years past now. And we pray that you would afresh and anew comfort the hearts of the family members that have lost loved ones. And Holy Father God, we individually confess our sins, hopefully, and collectively confess our sins, our failures, and our faults. And for Jesus Christ's sake, truly forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Lord, thank you for putting in my heart a prayer that you prayed on the cross, and only in recent days, weeks, I have been able to pray it. And I never thought I would be able to pray this. Never really thought about praying it, but you put it in my heart to ask you, Lord, to forgive people who have sinned against you and me, for they know not what they do. And they're evidently blinded to the evil that they're doing, which is a very bad situation. So, Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would forgive us all of our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Cast out the devil and the demons of hell working against your gospel, your ministry, and your work here today. Cast out the satanic, demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias. Cast out the satanic sins that come from these satanic spirits, the sins of pride, stubbornness, rebelliousness, arrogance, bad attitudes, bad spirits, grieving and quenching your Holy Spirit, hindrance and distraction, sabotage and betrayal and treachery. Lord, drive these demon spirits out of the hearts and minds, souls and spirits and lives of the people who have it here and the people who have it elsewhere. We pray that your holy gospel and your holy word will not be hindered even by people who need forgiveness because they know not what they do, due to ignorance and due to blindness, due to not being saved but religious, but not born again. And Holy Father God, I pray that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from our hearts and minds, souls and spirits and lives today. We plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the demons of hell. Grant me your freedom and your liberty, your unction and your anointing, your energy and your strength, and the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy gospel and to preach your holy word. Help me, Lord, to make it plain to your people. And Lord, I pray that you would open blinded eyes and unstop deaf ears and save their souls and change their lives. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would deliver each and every one of us from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, and do right throughout this day. Thank you for the prayer meetings we've already had earlier today. And Lord, I pray that you'll hear and answer those prayers. Hear and answer our prayers now. Help all of us who name the name of Christ to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we also pray for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, for the comfort and salvation of the grieving in our personal lives, in our families, in our churches, in our communities, in our country, and in this world. For Lord, the truth of the matter is, after 20 years of being in Afghanistan, we're no safer now than we were 20 years ago. In fact, I think we're more vulnerable. So, Lord, if you do not protect us, we're doomed. And my faith and trust is in you, not in the president, not in a standing army, you. And the Lord, help everybody else to turn their eyes towards you and to keep their mind stayed on you so that you will keep their minds in perfect peace. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would indeed deliver each and every one of us who name the name of Christ, and by your grace, if we do right by you, deliver each and every one of us who name the name of Christ from all of our tribulations and troubles and trials and temptations and tests and tensions. And Holy Father God, we pray that you will bless and protect our individual lives and our families. Lord, in this country and around the globe, who name the name of Christ especially, save those families that don't know you and have your Holy Spirit, not to give them rest on conviction until they come to repentance and trust and faith in Christ. Save over 3 million souls through this ministry alone, and save millions more through other ministries. And Lord, we pray that you will bless and protect our individual lives and families from ourselves, our flesh, and the devil even today. And protect us, Lord, from evil people in the family. Protect us, Lord, from the demons of hell, evil people in the family, evil people in the church, evil people in the world. Lord, it is sad that I have to pray that way, but you know why. Place upon us the whole arm of God. Surround us with the band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read and preach from this passage, help us to keep in mind it's all about us, Lord, being saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb and living holy and godly lives, because you said If you love me, keep my commandments. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. I want to just share something with you that St. Augustine said first, and then I want to delve into back here in the back. You need to fix this in front right here. Right here. St. Augustine said, the day of crisis coming lies hidden so that every day we will be on the watch. Now, Dr. John MacArthur said, the day of the Lord is a technical term for the culmination, the judgment of God that comes to end this age. Of course, you know, God says in the same book that he's not willing that any should perish. He does not want anybody to perish. And what you're hearing there is the infinite, amazing love and grace of God. But you must understand that God loves everybody, and he wants to see everybody salvaged and saved from their wretched lives and go to heaven. But God is holy. That's why the emphasis is on how we ought to be living, on righteousness in light of what's going to happen in the future. Now, this is going to be far worse. It won't be a terrorist attack, but it's going to be far worse than what you saw on 9/11 20 years ago. You think that's shocking. But when God concludes this age, the fireworks, if you will, are going to be out of this world like you've never seen before. Similar to, and this is just a light connection to it, but for some strange reason down in Mexico, before that earthquake hit, strange lights came up, blue-like lights and lightning happened across the horizon, and it scared people. They thought it was the end of the world, just like my secretary, Mrs. Thomas, thought on 9/11 20 years ago. I was in my office at the church. It was her day off, and she was at home that day, and she started seeing planes flying into the buildings. And during that time, we did not have a television. From the time that I got saved up until that time, and a little bit afterwards, we did not have a television in our house on purpose, by choice. And I thank God that my children were not really raised up on television. And so during the Thanksgiving holidays, sometimes going into Christmas, we would rent a television. And I was raised up on television, so I enjoy it when I'm eating my meal and so forth and so on. But sometimes after that, we went ahead and got one. she forgot that I did not own a television, so she was trying out in the parking lot to explain to me what was going on. And I said, planes are flying into the building. What are you talking about? She said, she was just frantic. And Pastor, you need to get a television. And so somehow she either rented me one or let me borrow hers. I can't remember which. And so I was able to watch it and find out what was going on, and it was unbelievable. To use my brother's word at the time, it was surreal. And there were some other things happening as well at the time. And he called me and wanted to discuss things with me. And he said, this is surreal, is the word he used. So we all remember that day if we were of age. And I do not believe my youngest son remembers that day. I do not believe, I know my youngest daughter does not remember that day. She just had a birthday. It happened 2 years before she was born. And Daniel Ziegler, my son, was 2 years old at the time, I believe. Maybe in the oven. And I say, yeah. Maybe one or two. He was too young to remember that. He's too young to remember that. But the videos are available, and thankfully people don't run them all year round. We just don't want to see that. But the day of the Lord is going to be far worse than that. And my job here is to help you realize that and to help you to understand that. And if you are a child of God, to understand that you will give an account to God about how you live in this world and what you do for Him or you don't do for Him. You will give an answer to God. That's why he's emphasizing how, in light of that judgment to come, the wrath of God to come upon this world, you are to be living a holy and godly, faithful and obedient life. And you ought to be about righteousness and not unrighteousness. Godliness and not ungodliness. And see, to God, this is very important. For those of you who are in authority, you understand God a little bit better than people who are not. If you have somebody under you, husbands, if you have a wife under you, you want her to obey you. This thing of obedience to you may not be important to her mind, but it's important to your mind, because and you want her to pay attention to what you tell her so that you can tell her just one time and it can be done right. May God help you if you have a wife who does not listen to you and you got to tell her 5 and 10 and 15 and 20, 30 times before she gets the job done like she's supposed to, on her own preferably. If you are a parent, your father especially, you want your children to do things a certain way. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You want it done. And if they don't do it, that's a problem. See, those of you in authority, you know what God wants. God wants complete obedience. He wants you to do it His way. There's no wiggle room. I'm sorry. And so, you know, people who say they've been saved for 15, 20, 30 years and 40 years and all of that, and they are not obedient to God. When Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And you don't understand that concept. You have not learned from chastisement from God to obey him. Jesus Christ said, because I love you, I rebuke you and chasten you. If you have not been to the woodshed, you are a bastard child. You're not a child of God, you're a child of the devil. If your life is characterized by disobedience, you have no fear of God before your eyes, you don't respect God enough to obey him, you probably have never been born again. You just have religion, and you're lost and on your way to hell. We don't hear preaching like this anymore. Because we're more concerned about getting a crowd up, like we're having a concert or something, and we will do everything we can to reach these so-called seekers. What are they seeking for is the problem. They're not seeking Jesus, evidently. They're seeking a good time like everybody in America. I like going to that church because we have a good time there. You can just dress any kind of way you want to, in skinny jeans and miniskirts and everything else. It's like going to a concert. And so Dr. John MacArthur brings out this thing regarding the day of the Lord is a technical term for the culmination, the judgment of God that comes to end this age, when God comes to shut it down. To end this world as we know it. The Old Testament prophets saw it as a day of unequaled darkness and damnation. A day when the Lord would act in a climactic way to vindicate his holy name. And see, God is all about that, which you have not heard about this God. Dr. T.D. Jakes had to tell some of his folks, y'all have not seen God this way before. You have not seen it like this before. This is a different side of God. He had to explain it to people, because many of the people who follow him, even though he's not like this. See, and I know this, but many people who follow him, they believe that it's all about them and getting some money and prosperity and gospel. Everything T.D. Jakes is from the country. Everything he's earned, everything he's gotten, he's earned it. He's got businesses. He doesn't need your money. He's a millionaire in his own right by what he has created and so forth. He's worked for it. He's a businessman too. But there are many people who follow him that they have bought into this foolishness, money come to me and all that. Now, when was the last time we heard from that preacher? No, we need you now, prosperity gospel people. We need for you to buy some houses for some people who are losing their houses as I speak. They're being evicted right now today. Yes, even on a Sunday. Where are you, prosperity preachers? We need some money to buy food for your church members who can't find any food. And they're going to be in the food line today. These used to be your church members that you fleeced. You took everything from them. Now they don't have anything. They need their $1,000 love offering back, or whatever you call it. Faith offering back. They need all of that back. And you need to sell your Bentley and sell your Mercedes and sell your big fine house on Pork Chop Hill and give them their money back. We need you now, prosperity preachers. to help pay some utilities, to help people move again, because it's hard. When people get evicted, it's hard to get back into another place. It's hard to find another place. We need for you to buy them a tiny house. Rent them a place. Prosperity Preachers. There's a prosperity preacher right now in trouble down in Louisiana because people are accusing him of having all that money he has fleeced the people for and won't help the people while they're drowning down in Louisiana. The devil is alive. See, T.D. Jakes, he was willing to admit that he may even have thought differently, but now he had to change his thinking and his teaching and his preaching. He preached a message the other day titled, The Courage to Change. God will help you to change, my friend. The God I know will help you to change and help you to understand that it's not about you. Dr. Rick Warren has gone through hell and back, but I tell you one thing, and the devil made him pay for that great book he wrote, The Purpose-Driven Life. First thing he said in The Purpose-Driven Life is, it's not about you. Now, you can say what you want about Rick Warren, but he put his foot in that book. Every young Christian needs to read it. You older Christians ought to know what's in that book from reading your Bible. It's a glorified Sunday school class, a Sunday school university. All of your children, I said it, I don't care if you like it or not, whatever you think of Rick Warren, every child that you have ought to read that book. Because they don't have it formulated in their minds like you do yet. That book will help your child, your young person in your Sunday school class. And don't just give it to them. They're not going to read it. Read it to them. Read it to them. That's right. That's an education in itself. And you say, that's a thick book. Don't worry about that. You sit down and part of your devotion, you read that to your children until they leave home. That's what I did. I didn't need the book. Everybody would tell me how wonderful I did. There's nothing. Listen, that book is simple Sunday school stuff. It is a shame before God that old heads, old people got all excited about the book like they never heard that before. If they went to Sunday school, if they read their Bible, they knew this stuff. But he had a wonderful way of putting it down on paper, and he just flat did it. And if you don't have that book in your home, and you got young people, young Christians, read it to them. It will change their lives, and it will stabilize their lives. But anyway, Dr. MacArthur continues. The Old Testament prophets saw it as a day of unequal darkness and damnation, a day when the Lord would act in a climactic way to vindicate his name. God basically said, don't worry about it, vengeance is mine, I will repay. You people don't know me. Like, you don't know me. This is the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, same God. He is very loving. He is love. The Bible says God is love. What kind of writing is that? Come on, people. You can't get that from Shakespeare. You can't get that from Milton. God has something to do with that. God is love. I want my people to know. I want everybody to know in this world I am love. The personification of love. But because I love you, I have to judge you. Now remember, the Lord told us not to judge. But he's going to judge. Don't you worry about a thing. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. he says something similar when he said in the word regarding reaping and sowing, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Don't fool yourself. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's as true as I am black and my last name white. You can bank on that, baby. You go with your bad self, with your little puny fist, raising your little fist at God, thinking you somebody, and you got it going on, and you're on your way to hell. You're going to meet God, and the Bible tells you to prepare to meet your Maker. Prepare to meet God. God told one of his kings, get your house in order, because you're coming to see me. And I'm somebody now. You want to meet somebody? Look at me. Look at me. You look at me clearly. You know how awesome God is? You can look at a beautiful woman and know that God is somebody. I didn't say a man. I mean, man, he shaped man too. And he gave us all kinds of abilities and talents. But the most beautiful thing that God has ever made on this earth is a woman. He made her from man and from the dust of the ground. Adam came from the dust of the ground. A beautiful, fine, voluptuous woman is enough to convince me. You can't convince me that Rihanna or Beyonce or anybody like that came from an ape. Have nothing to do with it. Not to mention the majestic mountains and the blue seas and the oceans. God is somebody, and he's nobody to play with. He's, the Bible says that he's, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God is nobody to play with, people. I don't know who you dealing with, talking the way you talk. Talking stupid. I got some questions for God. What? I don't have any questions for God. I don't know what you people are talking about. I'm going to be like the old saints. If God just gave me a shack on the other side of town in heaven, I'll be happy. But there's just no shacks in God's heaven. Dr. MacArthur, the scholar, goes on to say, his name, he's going to vindicate his name. To destroy his enemies. Is that you? I'm not an enemy of God. I'm on God's side. But you know whether or not you're an enemy of God. To reveal his glory and to establish his kingdom. And whether you look at Isaiah chapter 2 or chapter 13. Whether you look at Ezekiel chapter 13 or chapter 30. Whether you look at Joel chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 5, Amos chapter 5. Whether you look in that single chapter of Obadiah, verse 15. Zephaniah chapter 1, Zechariah chapter 14, Malachi chapter 4. Wherever you look and you see the unfolding of the final day of the Lord, you see it as a time of painful judgment. Some of the prophets indicate that it will have some preliminary signs. And so they write of those. Some write about what it will be like when it hits and how it will continue, and some speak of what happens after it is over. But the prophets all see it as a day of judgment, darkness, and doom. The New Testament writers, the same. Whenever the New Testament writers speak of that term, the day of the Lord, it is a fearful term. God is nobody to play with. Do not toy with God, my friend. See, and I can't preach like this. I would not be able to preach like this unless God showed me himself that he's nobody to toy with. He's nobody to play with, like some of you sweet little evangelicals think he is. That you can just do anything and say anything and money come to me and it's all about you and prosperity and all Christians ought to be rich and everybody in the family ought to be perfect and wonderful and so forth. And the devil is knocking your head. He's knocking your head every day because you're thinking stupidly. That's not the Christian life. That's what you heard from the sweet evangelicals and the sweet charismatics and the sweet Baptists who follow everybody. But what about, they follow everybody but the Lord and what the Bible tells them, even though they say they are Bible believing. They're more excited about what's going on in other denominations than what's going on in theirs. They think other people, other sweet evangelicals, are better than they are. So they go following after every little preacher with a blog. Baptist preachers are some of the biggest followers out there. And we have a big old hodgepodge of mess in the so-called church today. And that's why God is not pleased. And God has already started dealing with the church. He said, I don't care what you can say whatever you want. This is a chastisement. This is a judgment. This is a rebuke to the so-called church, the Laodicean church. You want to see the Laodicean church? Go to any church almost out here today. It's all they're going to say to you and indicate to you is all about you. It's not about what God wants. It's what you want. You want a church that has divorce care so that you can go ahead and go to the glorified dating class or the dating small group of divorced people who are horny and want to get it on with somebody else even before their divorce papers are signed. The devil is a lie. And the pastor will say, oh, come on in. You divorced devils and want to be remarried devils to anybody you get hooked up with. Come on in, see, and that's why the church is powerless to say anything to the homosexuals who want to get married. Because the homosexuals have been in the church for years, and they got your number. Well, you can be married and remarried and two times remarried and three times, well, then surely, we can get married. And we double dog dare you to say it, because you have in your bylaws that people who are remarried are committing adultery and they should not get remarried. And you got them in the pulpit, you got them in the choir, you got them serving in the church, and why not us? That's what they said to the pastor. We'll bring the whole thing down and we'll sue the pants off of you if you don't let us in. And then we also know about your little hanky-panky going on the down low. So we got your number, too. And we know that you and your wife are swinging with some homosexuals and heterosexuals. Okay, you want us to tell that? Okay, good. Well, then let us on in. And they say, come right on in, homosexuals. We'll marry you and everything. We'll let you be on the pulpit staff. And you think God's going to sit by and let you do that? You've lost your mind. You've lost your righteous minds. If you think God's going to let you do that evil in his church, he'll shut it down. And that's what he has done. Some of you are shocked. You great and mighty sweet evangelicals and Baptists and charismatics, you're shocked that God has shut your church down. What else? What else could he do but shut it down? You were not serving him. You did not love him. You had a girlfriend on the side, a side piece, and you had a boy, your wife had a boyfriend on the side, and you watching your wife have sex with other men, think you're doing her a favor, you're a lie, your feet ain't made in your hot pomace peanut butter. And guess what happens? Divorce is coming, because you're going to lie now and say you didn't let her do it. She committed adultery, just like one preacher, one college president said. Left his wife hanging out there to dry. My wife committed adultery with this young man. No, man. You let her do it. Because you're half homosexual. And all over the world, your wife committed adultery. When you are the one, you should say, you let her do it. You watched. You lying devil. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2, you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. And while people are saying peace and safety, that's what we got going on today. Pastors and preachers, they have to talk, preachers who have been paid off. Don't let me call your name now. So just go ahead on and admit you've been paid off. They don't want the 30 pieces of the silver back. Just go ahead on and keep it. They know you're not about anything. Anyway, that's why they approach you. You've been paid off to say everything is peaceful and wonderful and great and get the shot and everything's going to be fine. It's a lie out of hell. I told y'all back in December when the vaccines came out, two or three vaccines came out all at the same time. I said, the Lord is not giving me peace that this is going to be the solution. The people are lying to you. The vaccines are not going to be the solution. The vaccines will not end the plague pandemic. The only thing that would end the plague pandemic is confession of sin and repentance, especially. I believe God is in a way now that he really does not want to hear a lot of talking. And you don't have to talk when you repent. Just shut up and repent. Stop it. Stop the evil you're doing. Stop the evil you're trying to wait to do. You evil-hearted devil. Well, if I can get past this plague pandemic, I'll be back over to your house. But right now, we got to stop. Because there's a whole lot of church folks are dying. And man, I don't want to be in that hospital with this coronavirus. And I just believe God to make sure I get it if I meet with you again, Sylvia. If I meet with you again, Bo Peep, I miss you now. But I tell you, I can't. Can't do that anymore. But I'm going to try to wait. I'm waiting out and see what happens. And then hopefully we can resume our evil. That's what some church folks are doing. Destruction will come upon them suddenly. It is a time of devastation and destruction. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2. Verse 2, the day of the Lord is going to come. And again, it is associated here with something bad happening for good purposes. It is preceded by an apostasy, a man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, the son of perdition or destruction. Earlier in that same epistle, the first chapter, it describes the event itself, when the Lord Jesus comes from heaven. Verse 7 of chapter 1, with mighty angels and flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God, and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. people are going to be in a world of trouble. And they will pay the penalty of eternal destruction in that awful place called hell. Always a time of judgment. When Jesus spoke of it in Matthew 24, the emphasis was on the devastation as well as the gathering together of the elect. So Peter says it will come, this technical term describing the day of judgment. And it will come, he says, like a thief in the night, just like Peter did. What does he mean by that? It will be a surprise. Don't worry about it back there. It will be a surprise arrival, a surprise break-in, if you will. It's going to shock the world. It's going to shock the daylights out of you. You think 9/11 was a shocker? That's going to be like playing in the park compared to the judgment of God. Sudden, unexpected, disastrous to the unprepared. So it's best for you to be prepared. Get ready, as one preacher says. Get ready, get ready, get ready. He's somewhere getting ready for something else. I'm talking about getting ready for God to come. Jesus to come in the second coming and judgment to fall on you. Don't think I'm just talking about out and out sinners in the world. I'm talking about sinners in the church. Because some of you are not saved. By your fruit shall we know you. The day of the Lord will come, and when it hits, it will destroy suddenly, with stealth, like a thief in the night. And before it's over, the whole universe will be out of existence as we know it, and an entire new heaven and new earth wherein dwells only righteousness. And the ungodly men and demons will be consigned to eternal hell forever. Christ is coming, and he is on schedule. And so, beloved, this will be far more frightening than 9/11. And so in our last message, as we come to a close in this series, we looked at how the second coming will be unexpected and catastrophic. Dr. Stephen J. Cole said there won't be any place to go to escape this awful judgment. You will not be able to escape. Prince Andrew is trying to escape the case that he is facing of raping a young girl a long time ago. Remember now, God does not like ugly, and God does not care how long it was. If you don't hurry up and confess your sin and repent and get your heart right with God and try to make restitution and so forth and so on, God's going to hunt you down. And Prince Andrew is trying to avoid being served papers. But the papers are being served. And God's got some papers on you, and you're going to be served those papers. You will answer to God one day. I don't care who you think you are. Rich or poor. Famous or infamous. It doesn't matter. You will answer to God one day. I believe it was Dr. Charles McKinney, who wrote an article, wrote a tract, titled very simply, "One Day You Will Meet God." You will meet God someday. You, not just everybody, but you. Prepare to meet your God. Only those who are in Christ will be saved, safe, born again. Peter not only says that the earth will be burned up, but also its works. All of your works will be burned up, because they're not worth anything. Everything that proud man has accomplished will go through this burning process, this heat that is so intense that the very elements will melt before our eyes. Peter repeats this judgment by fire in verse 7, again in verse 10, and again in verse 12. Why does he repeat himself? Because Peter knows, as the Old Testament often records, that those who need to heed the warning are prone to procrastinate or get distracted with other things and put off getting right with God. Some will hear and not hear as well. The Bible talks about that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. People who have stone hearts and stone minds, they can hear the truth but never repent, never get saved, never change. And then they end up dying and going to hell. A couple died, I think, a couple of days ago. 8 hours apart, they've been married for many years. God had blessed them with 7 children. One of those blessed families like ours, God blessed us with 7 children. 7 is the perfect number. Well, this couple, they were all going to get the vaccine together. But the husband got it, I believe, and the wife got it, and they both died 8 days apart. They're both put under the ventilator and they died. Well, what did they do? They procrastinated like so many people in the world today. And they're dead now. Some believe because they procrastinated. They didn't get it done. And I've heard that several times from people who've died, families that have died from the coronavirus, plague, pandemic. You don't want to do that with this. You don't want to do that regarding your soul's salvation. Peter is talking about both the destruction of sinners and their works. Everything they have worked for will go up in smoke, and then they will face eternal judgment in the lake of fire forever and ever. One of my favorite sayings says, I have been saved. I heard this statement when I was young in the Lord. I think I even bought a book marker with it. I put in my Bible, it had it on there. It's something that I heard one time and pretty much remembered it from that one little quote. C.T. Studd said, only one life to a soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. For those of you who have never heard it, C.T. Studd said, only one life to live will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. May I say it to you again? May it burn into your heart and mind. Only one life to live, to a soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that's a fact. But the main thing you need to do with Christ is believe in him. For your soul salvation. One life to live will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Remember that, my dear friend. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will die and spend eternity in hell. And all your works, everything you did, will be burned up. Christ's return is absolutely certain. You can bank on it. It will be sudden, unexpected, and disastrous for all who have not repented of their sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, you need to be right with God before it comes. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Do it now. Do it today. You could be dead tonight. One little girl, she caught the coronavirus with her parents. She died the next day. Was gone. It was just too powerful for her. She just checked out. You need to be right with God. You need to get right with God by trusting in His Son, Jesus Christ. Get right with God before it comes, because then there will not be any avenue of escape. When Jesus Christ returns, will you be prepared? Will you be ready? When the world and everything in it is burned up and passes away, will you have done works for Christ that will still be standing? Will you be born again yourself? Will you be saved? Will God be able to say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? If not, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that He suffered, He bled, and He died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Get right with God today. Because one day you will meet your Maker. No matter how suave you are, no matter how debonair you are, no matter how beautiful you are, no matter how talented you are, one day you will bow down to your Maker. You may not bow down now, but the Bible tells us one day you're going to take a knee. Prepare to meet thy God. You say, "Well, preacher, how?" Here's how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation from the power of sin, the pain of sin, and the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell, eternal lake of fire. To do that, first, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have sinned against God. We must admit that. We must tell the truth that we all have sinned against God and we have done evil in His sight. He said, "Well, preacher, not me." Well, not only you, but the Pope is a sinner. The Dalai Lama is a sinner. Rick Warren is a sinner. Even the man down in Houston, Joel Osteen, is a sinner, no matter how nice he may be. And I believe he would admit it. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. And all we have to do is acknowledge that and admit that we have sinned and that we cannot save ourselves. Have you ever lied before? Yes. Have you ever stolen anything before? Candy, money from your parents? Yes. Have you ever lusted after somebody or something? Yes. Have you ever taken God's name in vain? Yes. Have you ever disrespected your parents? Dishonored your parents? No doubt the answer is yes. You have broken, therefore, the Ten Commandments. And you're on your way to a devil's hell. But you don't have to go to hell. Second, you need to understand the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. You say, well, is that in the Bible too? Yes, it is. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. In other words, when you die, you're being paid the wages of your sin. The wages of sin is death. Your sinful nature, your sinful choices will lead you to death and to eternal punishment in hell. Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now that's a big order right there. You need to understand that you're on your way to hell because of your sins. You don't have to, however, go to hell. I have some good news for you. But please understand the bad news, my dear friend. You're on your way to a devil's hell. You're on your way to death. Both of those things are bad. Why do we die? We die because of sin. God hates sin. But that's why we die, and that's why we go to hell. Because of our sins. But you do not have to go to hell. Hell is bad, hell is sad, and hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And just believe in your heart, dear friend, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for all of our sins. He paid our sin debt. He took our place. All you have to do is do what he said. Believe in him. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. If he can save me, he can save you, and he can save anybody. Repeat after me the sinner's prayer. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell, ultimately, and then saved to heaven. It is a win-win-win situation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Don't be worried about the fact that you joined the church a long time ago. In fact, you don't have to join the church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to speak in some unknown tongue to get saved. None of these things accompany salvation. All you have to do is believe, as Jesus said, in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, dear friend, let's pray the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what he has done for me on the cross, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. Was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins past. And help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you pray that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, not what I say, not what you say, but what the Bible says, what God's Word says, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. So welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing and receiving, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Jesus Christ is now your Savior, as he's my Savior, has been my Savior for 41 years. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com. And read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, dear friend, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you. Real good is my prayer. If the Lord should tarry his coming and we live, we'll see you on tomorrow. God bless you. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for what you have done here today. Thank you for reminding us, Lord, of the importance of the simplicity of the gospel. Help us to love it, to cherish it, to obey it. And Lord, we pray that through it all, that not only the people here have heard the gospel, we pray for thousands and millions more to hear the gospel once again. And we give you all the glory, praise, and honor for all of the accolades and all of the wonderful things that we've heard from the preaching of the gospel. But Lord, all glory, praise, and honor goes to your name. Thank you for doing it all, and thank you for giving us a heart and mind and strength to do it. All glory, praise, and honor goes to your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time.